Are you looking to upgrade your game on and off the field? Triple Crown Jewelry makes the cleanest jewelry in the game so you can show your style. Their jewelry is made by athletes for athletes with durability and style in mind. They make the best-selling number pendants and chains that you're already seeing on the field. Whether your style is gold, matte black, or silver, Triple Crown Jewelry has what you need. Personally, I'm more about the silver, but Triple Crown is ready for whatever your style. The chains look great. They're durable with a shine that stands out. And when you put it on, it has a nice heft to it. You can feel the quality. Your number is yours. It's part of your identity, and Triple Crown knows that. They have numbers from 00 to 99 available, so you can show your number, your identity, on and off the field. Their jewelry will never turn your neck green or fade. They're tarnish-resistant and made to last. These aren't just accessories. They're a statement of your dedication and love for the game. And that shine is unmatched. And in addition to choosing between the three different finishes, you can also choose from a variety of chains, including rope, Franco, and Cuban chains. So try it yourself. If you're ready to elevate your drip on and off the field, get some new drip at triplecrownjewelry.com and get a special discount just for our listeners. Get 25% off your first order site-wide with promo code BA2022. That's BA2022 at triplecrownjewelry.com. And by doing so, you're supporting our podcast. Orders are shipped the same or next business day from New Jersey, and orders over $50 get free shipping. Don't miss out on the opportunity to make a statement both on and off the field. Go to triplecrownjewelry.com and lead the league in drip.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two-two pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another Baseball America podcast. I'm Kyle Glazer. Very happy to be joined today by a very special guest, Clark Chris, the National Junior College cross-checker for the Arizona Diamondbacks. We brought Clark on because he's been the signing scout for a lot of really impressive players in his 40 years in professional baseball as a player, manager, and a scout. He signed Kenny Lofton. He oversaw the signing of Albert Pujols as a cross-checker. And we're bringing him on today because he was the signing scout for Tommy Pham, who obviously just had a very successful postseason run with the Rays. Clark, going back a couple years to 2006, you're scouting the Las Vegas area, and Tommy Pham is considered the best player in Nevada that year. He was a two-way player, a pitcher, and a hitter. But seeing a player that you like and getting to, okay, I want this player in our organization, and I'm willing to pay over slot to potentially make it happen, that's a pretty big jump. What did you see in Tommy as an amateur that made you feel like this was someone you wanted to bring into the Cardinals organization?
Yeah. First of all, I was notified from the part-time scout Manny Gurra, who told me about the kid. And Tommy was kind of up my alley. He was had a lot of tools. He could really run. He could throw. He had bat speed. He had a good body, good athletic build. And that's kind of the foundation that you're kind of on a position player you're working off of. He was playing shortstop at the time, but I thought he'd have to move. But when you go to see a player, for me, the running speed and the athleticism just really stands out to me. And that's what stood out to me on Tommy was his athleticism. He kind of monitored it. His game was kind of like he tried to look like Derek Jeter. And he did look like him quite a bit. But, he just was an exciting player even back then. He could throw 93, 94 off the mound. But he was typically, for me, he was a position player. I felt he was more of an outfielder than he was an infielder just because of his arm stroke. I didn't think it worked in the infield. But so they moved in the outfield where he kind of blossomed.
You mentioned the 93-94 off the mound. It's interesting. Going back and looking at some of the old reports, there were some teams, it appeared, who did like him as a pitcher. Seeing that, I mean, was there any consideration for that for you, or was he an outfielder straight away?
Yeah, I didn't. At the time, I was looking for him, what he would value us right now. And I thought as a position player, he had the tools to do that. Now, maybe in the back of my mind at the time, hey, if it doesn't work out, we can put him on the mound, and see what it works out there. But I only wrote him up as a position player, did not write him up as a pitcher. I just saw him as a position player.
You mentioned the athleticism, ball really jumped off his bat. There were some teams who considered him a potential top five rounds talent. He wasn't a top of the class guy, first or second round, but he was considered the best player in Nevada, top five rounds. He ended up falling to the 16th round. Some of that was signability issues. You eventually gave him $325,000, which was the same you guys gave your third rounder that year. What was that like when a guy like that who falls and you're trying to gauge the signability, what convinces you to pull the trigger and pay this guy over slot?
I think in conversation with him, you realize the seriousness of it. And a lot of times kids don't really start to really get serious about it until the draft day. You know, they got all the dreams of what's going to happen, and all of a sudden here it is right in front of you, and you have to make a decision. Do you want to go to college? Do you want to sign? And I think with the amount of money that we gave him and scholarship and stuff like that kind of helped the decision for him to make it. You know, for him to fall to the 16th round was fantastic, you know, that we could get that kind of caliber player in the 16th round. And, he had the tools, you know. It was just a matter of, you know, at that time we'd done our homework on him. We'd had him at our workouts, and I'd done his signability, and I spent a lot of time with him. And I think there was always a little bit of fear that he might go to Fullerton, and that there would be some, you know, is he really going to sign? But as we got closer in the draft, then we started to realize he's going to sign. So we were able to pull the trigger and get it done.
So obviously you believed in him when you signed him. We see a lot of young players come up and, you know, especially nowadays, get to the big leagues, you know, 2, 3, 4 years after they are drafted. Tommy had a much, much, much longer path. You drafted him in 2006. He did not make his major league debut until 2014. He did not become really an everyday player until 2017, 11 years after he was drafted. As a signing scout, you guys live and die so much with seeing how the guys you sign perform. What was that like for you? Was it nerve-wracking seeing a guy you signed struggle as much as he did early, take as long as he was taking? Just what was that like for you?
Yeah, I think because we knew the talent was there, but the people don't realize how many injuries he had during that time. I mean, he would just get going, and they weren't injuries that he was out for a week or 10 days. He was out for months at times, and so he never really got his foot, you know, got his footing, and so finally, you know, when they take 11 years. Like that, I give credit to like the Cardinals and people like that, those organizations that stay with the kid because he has tools, and they'll stay with tools. Most guys will. But I also give the kid the credit because he persevered. You know, there are many times probably during that time that, you know, he could have walked away and said, you know, well, this is too hard. I mean, I'm spending most of my young life trying to chase this dream, and it just keeps every time I get a taste of it, it's I get hurt or something happens to me. So I give a lot of credit to Tommy, you know, that he was able to persevere and grind, as we call them, grinders. You know, I signed a kid named Seth Mayas Green that just got the biggest year, and I signed him back in 2012, and he got 8 years. You know, he was 8 years in the minor league. So I give a lot of credit to the kid, you know, that he believed in himself, that it was eventually going to happen, and that I would that he'd be able to show his ability and do it on the biggest stage in the world. And, you know, Tommy took care of this when he got up there. Finally, he showed him. I mean, he showed what he had value. And this guy's got some special bat, you know, and there's something to this guy. So, his opportunity came, and he took advantage of it and showed them what he could do. So that says a lot about him too, you know, because some guys get a chance and they basically don't do it. And they're back down in the minor leagues, or they're bouncing around again. But you have to take on that opportunity when it comes. And Tommy jumped on that. And that says a lot about his makeup.
Yeah, you mentioned the injuries and the performance those first couple years, really from 2006 all the way up through 2010. So his first 4 years in the minors, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, every single year he hit under 240. On base percentage was barely 300. Slugging percentage wasn't great either. He showed some home runs in 2008, but I mean, for the most part, it was a rough performance. Even when he was healthy, he did manage to stay healthy a chunk of 08 and 09. As the signing scout, when you see that level of struggles that early, what is that like for you? You know, do you start to question, okay, did I get this wrong?
I think we go through that a little bit, you know, but as long as I've been in it, you realize don't give up on the kid, you know, that you signed him for a reason. And there's something that's going to shine at some point, or that thing you like is going to show up at some point. So you never really give up. You realize the odds are getting less that might happen. But you just, much like the kid, like Tommy, he never gave up, you know, and kind of with Tommy, he has an incredible work ethic, you know, and this is, you know, I signed him in 2006 and I left St. Louis and went to the Reds. So I wasn't around him during his time, but I could see it from afar and talk to the coaches, and talk to the people and find out about him. And everything that came back to me about him was, is his work ethic. He worked diligently at his craft. You've always got a chance that if you work that hard, that you got a shot. Chris Duncan was the same way, a kid in St. Louis. He just willed himself to the big leagues because he was going to outwork everybody to get there. And I think Tommy had that same kind of passion and a little bit of a chip that I'm going to show you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be who I think I am, and I'll show you someday. And so he always had that edge. And I think that's what helped him persevere and get through the tough times. And he never gave up on himself.
You mentioned that chip on his shoulder. I mean, Tommy came from a very difficult background situation. His mom was 17 when she had him and his twin sister. Dad was in jail for all intents and purposes, was raised by a single mother. When you're scouting a teenager, how do you kind of assess, okay, which way is this going to go?
Well, I think, first of all, it's his work ethic and how he goes about it. A chip can be, for me, can be looked at two different ways. A chip can be a motivating factor. It also says that the kid cares, you know, that I'm going to show you. And he cares. He wants to look good and he wants to do well. So it may rub other people the wrong way that he's a little cocky or he... You know, if you're so good, why don't you show us? You know, why don't you show it by your batting average or show it by, you know, what you're doing? But I think chips are, I mean, I look back at my play. I had a chip on my shoulder. I was bound and determined to show people to separate myself from just the norm and be a good player. So I know what it's like to work to kind of have that. I do that. I mean, even scouting, I mean, you're always trying to bet, you know, to do well and sign a big leaguer and just separate yourself and say, hey, look, you know what? I do have an idea what I'm doing. And I think guys that have chips can be a motivating factor a chip can be all of a sudden he's not doing well. And all of a sudden he puts his head down. Everybody hates me. Nobody likes me. I never get a shot. But I don't think Tommy did that. I think he just kept persevering and using that chip as a motivating factor. It didn't show up on the field as far as how he hustled or didn't get down the line or didn't shape, you know, go after a ball or whatever it means. You know, he never did that. And I think you can't let chips, if you have a chip and it distracts your ability to play and you feel like you're being treated unfairly, I think that could be a hindrance. That can destroy a player.
Yeah, and it's interesting seeing which way the chip goes. You know, one thing that stands out is he always got good grades in school. You mentioned the chip. You saw him really continue to have that fire, if you will, up through the minors. You mentioned injuries. He had shoulder injuries, wrist injuries. Eventually, a degenerative eye condition was found, and that was one of the reasons for his struggles. But you know, he kept going. Again, it just, you know, bears repeating. He was in the minors for 8 years, or 8 seasons, I should say, before he got a shot. You know, a lot of times the player gives up by then, or a lot of times the organization will give up on a player after, you know, prior to 8 minor league seasons.
Absolutely. Yeah, because we're bringing in players all the time, you know. But I still believe that, you know, a guy like Tommy had the tools that he had. They're not easily replaced. And I think you realize that as an organization, that I just can't, like, find another one like this every day. You know, so when you get a guy with those kind of tools and drive, you think about, you know, guys that get the big leagues really quick, you know, and there are some guys that get there quick. And, you know, God bless them. I'm glad they did. But there are some kids that have to go through the grind and earn their stripes and go through the ups and downs and the battles of the everyday play. I mean, when they decide to play professional baseball, that's the lifestyle. That's what you do. that you're an everyday, that's what your life, that's what you do. Every day you go to the ballpark and you're trying to get better. And you know, you got to have that perseverance and drive to make it happen.
You mentioned you were no longer in the Cardinals organization by the time Tommy made his way to the major leagues. But when you heard he did get that first initial call in 2014, 8 years after you signed him, what was that emotion like for you, especially given the long journey it had been for him?
Yeah, I'll tell you, Kyle, when you're a scout, you have all these ideas of what's going to happen, right? This could happen, and this guy could do this, and this thing's going to happen the next few years, and a lot of times it doesn't, and it fails. But when it happens, it creates a feeling in yourself that you're not crazy, that you do have an idea of what you're looking at, and that your vision can happen, and it's very prideful. And you know, we talk about the big leaguers the guys that I've signed, the big leaguers. It's not only prideful for me, but it's prideful for that organization, for all those coaches that helped that kid all through the years. It's prideful for, like I always tell people, I didn't get any of these players by myself. I got them through a scouting director, a supervisor, or somebody helped me do it. You know, just like Tommy, somebody helped him do this. So it's a work of everybody together. So it's not only prideful for me, which I get my name on him and I go, yeah, I signed that guy. But I also know that you have to recognize the whole pie. You know, that there was a lot of pieces that had to come together. And, you know, it's like Jeff Lunau was scouting director. Chuck Vick was the supervisor. And Manny was my part-time guy. And I was the area guy. And so it was all of us together making that decision. And so when he got there, there were phone calls made, you know, congratulations, you know, hey, he did it. And that's something I always enjoy doing for other guys that get big leaguers, to make sure and give them a call and go, congratulations, because it's difficult to get a big leaguer. There's only a certain amount of room up there at the big league level. And to get somebody to get there, it just is it's a very prideful and just a good feeling, you know, to know that, hey, and then you get to watch them on your TV. You know, hey, there he is, you know, so it's kind of fun. And then if they get the playoffs, oh my God, that's a whole nother level, you know, of pride. You know, you're watching that kid like he's your son, you know. And so I think that's the part that I love most about this game is, you know, to be able to have a vision and actually have it work out. And it's a good feeling.
You mentioned watching someone let you sign in the postseason like your son. Tommy's very first postseason at bat, the 2015 National League Division Series, steps up as a pinch hitter and hits a home run, first career postseason at bat. I mean, I would imagine that moment in particular, given that you guys are trying to sign not just big leaguers, but impact big leaguers who can help teams win World Series. And the postseason success is obviously a signature achievement in that. Seeing him have that moment, first postseason home run, just what was that like?
Oh, it's a great feeling, you know, and I really, you know, I don't have a real relationship with Tommy. You know, Tommy probably, you know, I signed him in 2006 and I was gone, you know, but you know, I sit there and I don't remember. I remember the moment we signed him and watched his journey, and then to see him do that at the biggest stage on the biggest stage out there, just has to be a wonderful feeling for me. And I can only imagine what it feels like for him and his mom and his family and what they think about it. Because yeah, I know his mom was always there. I remember when I had lunch with her and him and talked to his mom at length, and she's a good lady, and thank God he had a good positive role model in his life.
Seeing the level of success is exciting. He got to the big leagues, had that pinch hit home run in the postseason, but it didn't end there. We saw him finish 11th in MVP voting in 2017. This year for the Rays, he had more than a few big moments, a home run in their wild card win, and then a home run off of Justin Verlander in a game 4 win of the ALDS to help push it to game 5. I mean, he's consistently come up in big spots, been a big time performer. You said you like the tools, you like the athlete, there's a lot to like, but did you see this level of player, or is this even beyond your expectations?
I think there's certain things you just don't, you know, you just throw it out there, and hopefully when that happens, you know, I don't think you ever think, well, he's going to be hitting a big home run in the World Series or in the playoffs, but, you know, so it's a, it's something you want for that player to have happen. But, you know, I think for Tommy, you know, when he was younger, you know, he liked the moment. He always liked the crucial moment. And that says a lot about his personality and why he has a little bit of a chip or whatever. I mean, he doesn't want to be just good. He wants to be great. You know, he wants to be, people know who he is. And, you know, so when they get in, they lock in those moments. And I played with some players that are just absolutely crucial where you go, God, I hope he's up in this situation, because they're so clutch. And they just have a tendency, they have a real knack of locking into the situation and shining in that moment. And it says a lot about the kid.
Absolutely. He continues to come up big in big moments. And obviously, it was a long, arduous journey for Tommy, but he made it. And I know it was a lot of fun for you to watch.
Oh, it's great. It just, you know, for all of them, it's just been a pleasure. It's 40 years, going on my 41st year. And to watch some of these kids do what they did, it's just really, really cool. You got to pinch yourself sometimes going, wow, that's pretty cool.
Absolutely. And like I said, you had a role in signing a future Hall of Famer in Albert Pujols, another guy in Kenny Lofton who has a Hall of Fame case. But even, you know, though you've signed guys who've become impact big leaguers for more than 30 years now, I would imagine the feeling never gets old.
No, trust me, I've been married to the same woman for 39 years, named Leslie, and she keeps me humble. trust me, she keeps me humble. But my biggest fans in my life have been my family. They've enjoyed the journey too, and it's just been I look back and go, you know, how fast 40 years went. You know, I mean, here I was a player out of the University of Arizona to coaching, and then playing and coaching, and then going and getting into scouting, and then, you know, scouting's just been a lot of work, but a lot of fun. You know, I'm blessed because I've done something I enjoyed as a child, and I've been able to do it for my whole life. And I know that days that I get upset or that I've been on the road too long or whatever, I go, wait a minute, there's other people doing a lot worse than they got a little worse the situation you have right now, buddy. So I'm very thankful for what I have. Always very thankful for baseball. It's been good to me.
Absolutely. And your contributions in terms of the players you signed have definitely brought a lot of joy to a lot of people out there. Clark, thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations on an incredible career. And we look forward to seeing who you sign next.
Okay, buddy. All right. Thank you very much.
Once again, that was Clark Chris, the National Junior College cross-checker for the Diamondbacks. Really has had an incredible career. We mentioned he signed Kenny Lofton. He was a cross-checker who oversaw the signing of Albert Pujols. He signed Mike Leake. He signed Tommy Pham as well. Just an incredible career in baseball for Clark, and very, very happy to have him on to talk a little bit about the process of signing Tommy. This has been another edition of the Baseball America podcast. Go ahead and give us a review on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever platform you're listening on. We would love to hear from you. Now's a great time to subscribe to Baseball America. We've got team top 10s coming out. We have year-end awards coming out. All the content you could ever want and more, both in the magazine and online. Once again, for Clark Crist, I'm Kyle Glazer. Thanks for listening, everybody.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.